Hallelujah.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite songs.
Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, we got a whole row of Wileys back here. And Marco. Amen. Thank you, God. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we just give you the glory and thanks. You're everything we need. You're the supplier, Lord God. You are the one that can take us from where we are to where you want us to be. And Lord God, you are so rich in your faithfulness to us. Who else would supply the Holy Spirit to help us in this walk? Who else would supply us with the Holy Spirit to give us power and authority? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for your healing powers. Thank you for your riches and glory. Thank you that we're here to celebrate you today. Oh, Jesus, glory to God. Glory to God. This is the day that you have made. Put joy in our hearts today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Ishandanda makatarabakaya. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch us today, Lord Jesus. Give us your strength. Give us your power. Give us your authority. Give us your love, Lord, for one another. Open us up and pour into us, Lord. And we give you the glory and praise. Give you the glory and praise, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Give some virtual hugs, folks. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. All right, we have no birthdays or anniversaries this week. I looked at my list today and it's just empty. So, but we're thankful for anybody we don't know that has a birthday or anniversary. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to remind you of the prayer meeting on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. If you can come, please come and join us. And if you would, I'd like you to open your Bible to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. It's going to be a while before we get there. I'm just getting them prepared so they don't have to worry about it later. Bonnie tells me I'm too fast sometimes. I announce it and I start reading it. It's page 1175 if you're looking for it.
You got the right Bible, it's page 1175.
That's it. Lord, this is the day that you've made. We thank you that you have a message for us. And Lord God, I ask you to deliver that to each of our hearts, Lord. Let us hear from you today. Let us hear from you today, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the goodness of this past week. Thank you that you walked with us every day. And thank you that we knew it. Thank you for your miracles and your blessings. and your wonderful Holy Spirit. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. 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 I recently came across the top 10 list that I think you'll get a kick out of. It's entitled, Top 10 Ways You Know You're in a Bad Church. I think any one of these ways places you in a bad church. I don't think you need all 10. Amen? No. Number 10, the church bus has gun racks. Number 9, the church staff consists of a senior pastor, associate pastor, and a social pastor. The Bible they use is a Dr. Seuss version. There's an ATM machine in the lobby. Number 6, the choir wears leather robes. Number 5, the preacher wears short shorts. Number 4, there's no cover charge for the service, but there is a cover charge for receiving the wine at communion. Number 3, during the worship time, everyone sings their own song. Number 2, ushers ask, sleeping or non-sleeping? Number 1, the organist only knows one song, Come On Baby, Light My Fire. Now, I hope you don't consider Turning Point Church fitting any of those descriptions, but there were some former members that always wanted the church van outfitted with gun racks. Just kidding. Seriously, though, we may not condone any of these things on that list, but I believe there's always room for improvement. Amen? Always room for improvement. God loves His church family. He desires to draw us closer and closer to Him, to experience His awesome presence, and anticipate the exciting things He has planned for us. Amen. Throughout these last months, many of us have been praying for a spiritual revival. Don't let this time escape without many, many people coming to the Lord. Not just a personal revival, but a worldwide revival. This pandemic is worldwide. Let's have a worldwide revival. Amen? Don't let this pandemic pass without people being brought into the kingdom of God. I just read where the home churches in China, and we can get that from Tim when he becomes available, but I just read where the home churches in China and other parts of the world are experiencing revival right now. Right now, mainly because of the anxiety and the fear concerning COVID-19, but also the growing sense that this could be the beginning of the end of days. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Over the past months and years, we have often examined some of the exceptional revivals of the past so as to learn from them. Past revivals always included exceptional worship services with thousands of people receiving salvation and witnessing the miraculous power of God on display. So let me ask you, do you have a hunger to see the move of God? Do you have a hunger to see the move of God? Are you willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit so that He will release His power on you and your church and your community? Amen. If so, then we must do our part to bring revival into this place and at this time. I believe the hardships resulting from this COVID-19 pandemic, along with the realization that we are not in control. Has anybody realized we are really not in control? Yeah. Amen. It can draw us into repentance And once again, we will experience His awesome touch.
Hallelujah.
His awesome touch in our lives. In the book of Joel, there are a few passages pertaining to revival, but today I want to look at one in particular. That's in Joel chapter 2. And Joel foresaw an invasion from the north, the armies of Syria and Babylon, and he referenced it or typified his words by an invasion of locusts as recorded in the first chapter. He used that as an example. Joel spoke of the day when God's judgment would come upon the earth, and he warns against this impending doom. Rather than seeking God, the people had turned away from Him. They were living in sin, and time was running out. So Joel begins to prophesy, to give them instructions from the Lord. So I want to pick up on this story in chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse number 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Verse 13, "So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm." Verse 14, "You know if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly." 16, "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room." Verse 17, "Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them.' Why should they say among the people, 'Where is their God?'" Now listen to verse 18. "Then the Lord will be zealous," or jealous. A lot of versions say jealous there. "For His land, and pity His people." The Lord will be zealous, or jealous for His land, and pity His people. Whenever we hear the word jealous, we have a negative connotation about it. But it actually means a good thing. When the Lord is jealous over us, or zealous, same word, amen, it means that God has an intense desire and earnest enthusiasm to be with us.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say it again. God has an intense desire and earnest enthusiasm to be with us. Wow. He wants to be with us.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh. Ooh. In other words, our Father wants above anything else, to be as close to us as possible. And He's always blessing us. And isn't that what revival is all about?
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
A time of special connection and communion with God Almighty. Now, that verse 18 is God's promise. And now that we've discovered God's promise, we recognize that He's jealous for us, wants to be with us, He desires to heal our land, but there's a little word in that promise. Just a little word. And that word is then. Then. Look at verse 18 again. Then the Lord will be zealous for His land and pity His children. The promise starts with this tiny little word, which means there's a requirement before the promise goes into effect. We are required to do something. And what are we required to do?
According to the passage, it says fasting and weeping and mourning and crying out to the Lord to bear your people, O God.
Amen.
According to the passage.
Amen. And quit robbing my message.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. We can say silent in the church. I'll do my best.
All right, we're going to look at these things this morning. The very thing, first thing we must do to experience revival is to return to Him. The first part of verse 12 says this, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart." Amen. Turn to me with all your heart. How many of you here this morning are married? We're married, been married, okay. I want you to think back to that blissful honeymoon for a moment. Do you remember how romantic, loving, and caring your spouse was? And don't answer that now. I don't want anybody getting in trouble, okay? But in all honesty, how many of you are as romantic now as you were when you were first married? If you're like most people, the romance of your relationship has waned. Things are different now. I recently read an illustration that brought this point to light. It's entitled "The Stages of Sickness in Marriage Through the Years." And it describes a husband's response to his wife's illness through their years of marriage. All right, so sickness in the first year. We'll start there. Sickness in the first year. The husband says, "Oh, sweetie pie, I'm really worried about those nasty sniffles you have. There's no telling what you could turn into, what they could turn into with all that strep that's been going around. I'm going to take you right down to the hospital and have you admitted for a couple days of rest. I know the food is lousy there, so I'm going to bring you some takeout from your favorite restaurant. I've already arranged it with the head nurse." That's the first year. Second year, "Listen, honey, I don't like the sound of that cough. I called the doc, and he's going to stop by here and take a look at you. Why don't you just go to bed and get the rest that you need?" Sickness in the third year. "Maybe you better go lie down, darling. When you feel lousy, you need the rest. I'll bring you something. Do we have any canned soup around here?" Sickness in the fourth year. "No sense wearing yourself out when you're under the weather. When you finish those dishes and the kids' baths and get them to bed, you ought to go to bed yourself." Sickness in the fifth year. "Why don't you take a couple aspirin?" Sickness in the sixth year. "You ought to go gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a dog." Sickness in the seventh year. "For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. Are you trying to give me pneumonia? You better pick up some tissues while you're at the store." Can we relate to this, folks? It's humorous, but can we relate to this? Absolutely. Why is this the case in so many marriages? Well, we love our spouses, probably love them as much as we've ever loved them. Amen? But rather because we take them for granted after being together for so long, and perhaps we've gotten a little lazy or maybe a little self-centered. It's a lot easier to just give them a few aspirin than go through the pains that we initially did. Amen? Or could it be that we've grown accustomed to our mate being around and allowed our love to get a little stale? Did you know that this kind of complacency happens in our Christian lives as well? And it's nothing new. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, excuse me, writes about this in the book of Revelation. Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus. He commends them for their hard work and perseverance. Christians in Ephesus had done an outstanding job as a church. However, Jesus had one warning for them. That's in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Just like in a marriage, we often start our Christian walk with hearts ablazing. We've fallen in love with the Lord. We are extremely excited about the things of God and what He has planned for us. We get into the Word. We love to pray. We can't wait to get to church and enjoy corporate worship, hear God's Word, and fellowship with other believers. But just like our illustration about the husband and his sick wife, our relationship with God can start to fizzle. The emotional connection we once had is not nearly as strong as the years pass. Oh, we may still come to church and do our duties, but our passion is gone. Perhaps still we still read our Bible, but it has become more of a chore than a delight. Before long, prayer becomes weak and almost non-existent. Complacency and a turn to self-centeredness in our relationship with God becomes the norm, and far too often we fail to do anything about correcting it. If you and I want revival, desire a move of God, and long for the abundant life He has promised, then we must have an attitude adjustment. So to have revival, it is necessary to return to your first love. It is time to renew our vows, so to speak. It is time to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Ooh, how do we do that? When a husband or wife has unintentionally ignored their mate or somehow prioritized other things ahead of their spouse, it is essential that he or she admit their mistakes and ask forgiveness of their shortcomings. In like manner, we must recognize our shortcomings in relationship with God, ask His forgiveness for falling away, and make a spiritual commitment to draw near once again. Remember, saints, God does not leave us. We leave Him. God does not leave us. We leave Him. And just like the prodigal son, the father is always waiting for his child to return. And if you have strayed from your God, make it a priority to tell Him and to show Him just how much you really do love Him. Secondly, to fulfill our part in obtaining revival, we declare a fast. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. There once was a little boy who asked to give the blessing at dinner. He bowed his head and said, "Thank you, Lord, for this food, and bless the hands that made it. Amen." Out of breath, he looked up at his parents and said, "Do you think I prayed quick enough for God?" His mother was a little curious about this remark, so she asked, "Why do you think you have to pray quickly?" The little boy replied, "Because the pastor said that in the Bible we are told to pray and fast." Don't you like it when I bring humor into this? This little boy, just like him, we often misunderstand instructions in fasting. In a general sense, fasting talks about limiting food. And that is mostly true. However, God is not so concerned about the fact that we are not eating. God is more interested with the idea that we are giving up something or denying ourselves something that is of importance to us so that we might move closer to Him. We often give up food for our fasting, but sometimes we must limit certain activities or refrain from personal indulgences or even stop the negative attitudes. For some of us, this is real fasting.
Yes,
amen. Maybe it's TV, maybe it's sports, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's working too much, maybe it's reading novels, maybe it's internet or gaming, or maybe it is eating. It's time to limit those things, fast from them. Or perhaps there are some things that need to be completely eliminated so that you can seek your God. Sometimes we can allow a wedge, some hindrance, to go between us and God. We may not even notice it until we realize just how far we have strayed from our first love. I've been very guilty in my own life of mindlessly watching television, and it profits me nothing. Nothing. Recent statistics show that the average Christian spends less than an hour a week reading their Bible. The same study shows that an average Christian spends between 15 and 20 hours a week watching television. Now, I'm not condemning the watching of television, but I am suggesting if we want to get close to God and enjoy revival in our soul and revival in our church, we have to abstain from some things. Whatever you spend the most time with is the thing you love the most. And until you spend time with the Lord and doing His will, you cannot truly say that God is first in your life. So declare a fast of anything that you've placed in front of the Lord. Spend time with Him instead. Restore God as the number one love and priority of your life. Then you can really enjoy revival. Next, to obtain revival, we respond to the directive found in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "So rend your heart and not your garments." Rend your heart and not your garments. Brothers and sisters, if your spouse hurts you or wrongs you, what are the two words you want to hear? "I'm sorry." "I'm sorry." Sometimes they are the two hardest words to say in the English language. However, it's not enough just to hear these words. You want to know that the person who says them truly means them. Amen. God requires the same. A sincere apology. In our passage, God tells us to rend our hearts and not our garments. Back in the time that this passage was written, deep remorse was often displayed by the tearing of one's clothes. It was a sign of repentance. However, God did not want just an outward display of penitence without a true inward heart change. We cannot disguise the true condition of our heart from Him. God knows. So it is necessary that we turn from our ways with a truly repentant heart and not just use the words. So how can we show God that we are sorry? As a prideful people, it's not easy to confess our wrongs. But we must cleanse ourselves before the Lord if we are to have any hope of revival. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. When we confess with a whole heart and a broken spirit, God not only forgives us, but He purifies us as well. If we are truly allowing the Holy Spirit to reign in our lives, then make no mistake, we will be convicted and saddened when we sin against Him. Sin breaks the heart of God because it reveals our rebellion against His perfect will and plan for us. As Christians, whatever breaks the heart of God should break our hearts as well. If we actually knew how much our sin hurt God, we would never do it. But there's good news. No matter how far we wander or how far we fall, our true repentance brings restoration. Amen. The last thing we do to obtain revival is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly." Verse 16, "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room." In the scripture passage, we are commanded to gather the assembly together. Everyone was to be in attendance, from the young to the old. Even the bride and the bridegroom were to be in attendance. Why was it important for everyone to gather? Because Father God wanted to hear the unity of their spirits. God wanted to hear their combined heart's desire so He could meet their needs, their hopes, and their dreams. So it was necessary for the people to put everything else aside and gather together before God. If revival is ever to erupt at Turning Point Church, we must desire it. Yes. Be passionate for it. Yes. Does all of Turning Point Church want revival?
Hallelujah.
Once it becomes our heart's cry, then we can gather everyone here together in a united assembly, beseeching God for the blessings of revival. That is when the promise is fulfilled, and God will be jealous or zealous and heal our communities all around us. Perhaps this morning you are looking within and evaluating just how much you want or need revival. Saints, remember your first love and return to Him. Declare fast from anything that has become more important to you than your God. Rend your hearts through true confession, removing all barriers between you and God. And following those directives from the Word of God, we must gather together in one accord and pray for revival. God is ready and willing to restore us and bless us far beyond what we can imagine. R.A. Torrey, who's a notable Christian scholar, he summed up the process of revival in a similar way, and he called it a prescription for revival. This is what he said. First, let a few Christians get thoroughly right with God. Second, let them bind themselves together to pray for revival until God opens the heavens. Finally, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Christ. This morning, I'm asking you to take the first step with me and get right with God. And get right with God. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's beckoning you to return to your first love and rid yourself of anything that stands between you and Him. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to pray, but first I want us to sing this chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord Jesus, we come to you today as a people that need to refresh our love for you. As a people that need to turn from the way we have been operating, the way we have been walking, and completely give ourselves back to you, Lord. Lord, so many things in this world take us away from you. As we pay attention to those things that we believe are important, they rob us from you, yes. Lord, we repent. We repent. We rend our spiritual clothes, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, to draw us close to you, to renew this love relationship with each one of us. Lord, we read your word and we know you want the very best for us. And we thank you for the provision you have made for us, Lord God. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit living within us. Sometimes we block his voice. Sometimes we just don't listen. Sometimes we don't hear him calling us back to holiness. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. And restore our relationship. Restore the unity, the desire that we had when we first came to you, Lord. The clean that we felt, the overwhelming cleanliness that you gave us, Lord, when our sins were forgiven. Oh, Lord. Thank you for the excitement we felt. Bring those things back to us, Lord Jesus. Restore completely this relationship with you. According to your word this morning, Lord God. According to your word, Lord. Bless your people and heal our communities, Lord. Revive our spirits, Lord. Let us be able to stop doing the things that separate us from you. To quit them altogether, Lord God. And to enjoy our life, our abundant life in you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for everyone here this morning. Everyone hears my voice. Thank you for this video that's going out with this message, Lord God. Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord God. Bring this end time revival. Let it begin, Lord God. Let it begin in our home, Lord God. Let it begin in our church, Lord God. Let it begin in our life, Lord God. So many things we think are so important are not important. Let us be able to focus. Spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear your word to us, Lord. Give us a love for your word. And Lord, I bind Satan. I don't want to give him any credit, Lord God, but he's wise, he's smarter than we are. So we have to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And we have to pay attention. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Destroy spiritually, emotionally, physically. We bind him right now, in Jesus' name. We loose your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Thank you for today. Lord, bless your people. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Virtual hugs, everybody. Love you. Love you, love you. Amen.